Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, podcast explorers. Welcome to Pit Chat, the podcast where we gather round, toss in some hot topics, and let the flames of conversation burn bright. I'm Michelle.
And I'm Wayne.
And together we're your hosts on this journey through the sizzling landscape of current events, sprinkled with a dash of mystery, a pinch of the unexplained, and a whole lot of fun.
That's right, Michelle. We're not just here to talk about the everyday stuff. We're diving deep into the realms of the unknown, exploring UFO sightings, unraveling paranormal mysteries, and maybe even roasting a marshmallow or two along the way.
So whether you're a skeptic or a believer, join us as we stoke the flames of curiosity and bring you the hottest takes on the coolest conspiracies. It's like sitting around a fire pit with your friends, but with a bit of extraterrestrial excitement.
Each episode, we'll be serving up a blend of the latest headlines, intriguing stories, and a touch of the supernatural, from politics to pop culture, and from ghost to government secrets. We've got it all covered.
And hey, if you've ever looked up at the night sky and wondered what's out there, or if you've ever felt a chill down your spine in a supposedly haunted place, you're in the right spot.
So, grab a seat, cozy up by the fire, and let's spark some conversation. This is Pit Chat, where the ordinary meets the extraordinary. Get ready for a wild ride down the rabbit hole.
On an escalator.
All right, greetings everyone to a brand new, well, kind of a brand new show, Pit Chat, with your host, myself, Wayne, and
Michelle.
Yeah. So we're branching out a little bit, and I know people probably have a lot of questions about what happened to Michigan UFO Sightings and Paranormal Encounters podcast. Well, that's one of the reasons why we change things, is because, you know, you have to have a iron lung to be able to say the name of the show. Now it's just Pit Chat. So welcome everybody, and welcome to everybody that's over on Gemma's channel. So we are double streaming tonight. With we're on our Facebook group, we're on our YouTube channel, and we're also on X, and Gemma is also streaming out. So we're just going to go ahead and get things started. So once again, welcome everybody, and let's bring on our guest tonight. It is the lovely, the one, the only, Gemma J. Gemma, thank you for joining us.
Of course, thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
You are our first guest with our new branding. So we want to thank you for last minute coming on and joining us. And the last time we had you on, it was in April, and we were talking about your latest book at that time. So what's been going on lately with you?
Lots of interesting stuff. That book was the Shadow Entities book, the Shadow Entities, Sleep Paralysis and Beyond. And I was working on another book about the Black Eyed Kids, tentatively called Danger at Your Doorstep, which I just handed in. So that should be out in like the next month or so. That was a really hard one to write. It took me a long time, but it's definitely something I've been interested in for a long time. And other than that, I'm just still doing live Oracle and hanging out on my YouTube channel.
How are you getting ready for the lovely holidays coming up?
Well, I have a 5-year-old, so definitely a lot of preparation and a lot of stealthiness.
So I do know that, and Michelle wants to talk to you about some things, but I do know that you made a very cool announcement on Facebook just about 6 hours ago. Let's go ahead and break that right here, right now.
So I'm really excited to announce that my books, Missing the Fey Theory, Encounters with Evil, 101 True and Terrifying Stories, which was the book of short stories, and then Shadow Entities, Sleep Paralysis, and Beyond, are available on Audible now. And it is a beta program of AI, but I listened to it and it actually sounds amazing. And it sounds way better than I expected AI too. And I guess I severely underestimated the AI, but it is available on Audible now. And that was a major milestone for me. So I'm excited about it.
Isn't it creepy that AI is reading your book?
It is a little bit. It is. Yeah.
You know, that's one of those.
You know, I hear dead people. So, I mean, AI is kind of nothing.
That's one of those jobs I've looked into, though, as far as like doing readings of books. So it looks like, you know, my side job for in the future is going to be completely gone.
I wanted to do my own books at some point, yeah. Once my name got big enough to be able to do so. But honestly, I can imagine like if they tweak what they already have in this beta program, it's going to sound exactly like a human being. I mean, there's the only difference I can tell is like there's not as much inflection with the AI. That's it. Otherwise, you'd think you were listening to an actual person. It's crazy. And I think AI has taken over a lot more than the book narrations, unfortunately. Maybe
you know,
fortunately.
That AI can get Morgan Freeman's voice, I guess, down to a pat, then we're all in trouble.
Lots of trouble, for sure.
Yep. So, one of the things we always like to do when we have you on is talk to you about predictions for the next year and closing out the year and all of this good stuff. And I know Michelle wants to ask you about that, but first, 1 second, we've got Ghost Dragon sending in a super sticker, $10. Thank you, Ghost Dragon. You are awesome. We really appreciate that. Thank you very much. So, predictions for the new year? Is it going to be wild and crazy? What's the UFO world going to look like here now with the NDAA getting signed in a couple weeks? And this has been crazy.
It has been. I mean, I tend to stay away from the news, right? So I don't watch a lot of news. It's just not good for me to do so. But I'm not really so much a psychic as I am an oracle and a physical medium. But what I can tell you is what's going to be happening to people like us, to people who are searching for the truth and light workers everywhere in the next, you know, basically in the next year. I feel like there's, you know, us light workers and then the people that I call the sleepers, because they're really, you know, all human beings have light, but some people don't work with it the way that we do, where we help others and we bring the truth to people and we're constantly searching for answers. So many of us in this community have been going through one thing after another, and it's been hellish for so many people just wanting to really just abandon the light and just kind of give up or just take a break. And I've seen with so many people and just with what's going on astrologically and what's going on with the energy is that with the energy of January, which is rebirth, renewal energy for anyone who's been putting the work in for the rest of the year, it's still going to be kind of a slump month. And then I see in February, March, and April, more as like spring comes in, the end of January through that time, a lot of us feeling a lot more motivated and a lot more, quote, I don't believe in luck, but lucky, things really starting to turn around in major and significant ways throughout multiple areas of our life. So it's not like you wake up one day and things are suddenly better, but you're either better able to deal with them, or you notice that things are happening a lot faster to get you to that point where you feel better. So the energy is definitely changing in a very positive way, just for the collective in general, where there's going to be more of us than there are the people at the lower vibrations.
Now, you know, you bring up light workers and higher vibrations, lower vibrations. I got to ask you, have you ever run into a person that has been one of those, what would be the opposite of a light worker, a dark worker, or somebody that's working for a, evil intent or something along those lines?
There's several different terms and different ways, but what I would most equate the opposite of a light worker to be would be what I call a dark spirit. And that's someone who comes here. See, light workers, just like, they're mainly regular human beings, and a lot of us find our calling and some don't, but we have like contracts. We have this contracted with the universe or with God, depending on what you believe and who you believe in. And a lot of the bad or negative experiences that we have throughout our lives, those are contracted events. And that can be the case in, you know, deaths and murders and all types of things that could happen to us. But then there are the dark spirits. Dark spirits are people who are so abhorrently dark that they're immediately reborn. There's no other side for them. They're just immediately reborn. Therefore, they're not able to make a contract, form a contract with anything. And they're kind of flying blind. They have no tether to the other side, or heaven, as I call it. And yes, I meet them all the time in my daily life. And it's actually one of the reasons that I really don't leave my house anymore. There's so many of them now. And the thing with the dark spirits is they have the ability, and I'm sorry, I have a cold, guys. That's why I'm sniffling. They have the ability to influence light workers to become like them, to bring them kind of down and take their light so that they're not alone in whatever it is that they're doing. So most, even like serial killers, a lot of them are contracted for a specific reason with their victims. And, you know, that's why there's no punishment. But some people are not contracted to that. They do it because they're dark. And I see them often. I see them all the time. And mainly I see them kind of feeding off of, manipulating and taking advantage of the lightest of light beings. People with special gifts and abilities that light workers and the collective really, really need to be doing their job, whether they know what that is or not yet. I always say, like, when I was in addiction, I was definitely under the influence of something like that, that did not want me doing this here and sharing and helping people and bringing people into their own contracts, into their own light. They're everywhere.
Yeah, I've noticed it quite a bit. I don't know, Michelle, did you want to jump in on that? Like collectively with your school district and everything, there seems to be a very dark cloud that's been hanging over that.
Bro, we're dealing with a shit show. There's no nice way of putting it. So, and if I talk about a dark cloud, we've had multiple layoffs in a, you know, profession that you would think, they talk about teacher shortage and, you know, people in education. And we've had a number of layoffs and probably more to come as they kind of muddle through the finances that were a complete train wreck over the course of the last year. I also see
a change with the kids, though, too.
Well,
this year, I see
a change with the kids. The lack of respect has just completely over the years has deteriorated. I noticed it right around 2005. 2005, there was a shift. I don't know if it was the No Child Left Behind. But after my first 5 years of teaching, I started to see it go downhill more and more. And as far as like dark energies and just horrific energies, I've seen some out of the kids this year. I've seen some out of the parents this year. And, you know, I can honestly say this is one of those times that I wish I would have bought years towards my retirement, because I would be doing something else in another year.
It's that a lot of the, there was a major, major energetic shift in the year 2000. Obviously, it was a milestone year, and a lot of people don't realize it wasn't just because it was the year 2000. It was just something. I'm not an astronomer or an astrologer. I just know a little bit about that because of how it affected the energy. And unfortunately, a lot of the dark souls, or the people being influenced by them, the dark spirits, have come into power in that time that you mentioned. So when you have the power corrupted, not making a political statement, I'm talking only about energy and a lot of people's energetic signature. So when you have the power shift from people at least trying to do the right thing to people doing the right thing for themselves, it really does have to do with energy and the collective and light and dark. people don't really understand that. There's a real spiritual war happening about 3 feet above where we lay our feet, because that's where the other side actually is. And, you know, the other side isn't up and down. It's all around us all the time. And the more souls, and especially light workers that the other side claims, the more we're going to see this. Now, from what I understand, from what my guides told me, is Generation Alpha. You know, I'm a Xennial. I was born in 83. But Generation Alpha, which is the next generation, I believe starting at 2012, I don't know the exact years, and on, they're going to be the generation that pull us as a collective out of this insanity that we're dealing with. No matter which side of the debates you're on, there's a lot of negativity, and we can all say that one way or the other. Generation Alpha is going to be our saving grace, regardless, because that is what the universe is gearing everyone up towards. What's going on now sucks, but it was necessary for certain changes to be made, certain things never to happen again, and for people to start paying closer attention. We got very, very complacent in the early 2000s. And that's just, again, speaking energetically from what I see of the spirit realm and what I talk about with my guides.
Yeah, well said. I've noticed with the kids, now I've only been teaching for 8 years. Michelle's a 20 plus year veteran at this stuff, but I did a career switch, and I've noticed this year with the kids that, and this could be due to COVID and lack of socialization or whatever, but I've noticed that a lot of the students aren't just like, you know, class clowns, or, you know, they are really behind, but they're also malevolent. Like, they are nasty. Like,
they've learned gaslighting.
Yeah, they practice gaslighting and are just negative. I mean, you can feel it. And I think it was Tabin that talked about leeches, you know, calling these people leeches that suck the energy off of you. And we
human straws.
Yeah. And we talked about that on one of our previous shows that we did with you about psychic vampires. Mm-hmm. And it really just seems like that it is in full force. Like, I've never felt the heaviness in my 8 years of teaching, even down in Detroit. You know, really, you know, kind of, you got to watch your step, but oh my God, is it different? Like, it's really different.
Yeah. It's, I know that my generation was allegedly the last generation of feral children. There was, you know, everyone gets a trophy and safe spaces and all that. And that really does change a person's will and a person's drive, even outside of energy. But, you know, they start with, you know, and when there's no boundaries, there's no boundaries that can be drawn. Do you know what I'm saying? And things just keep going further and further. But like I said, a lot of it will change. Unfortunately, we've got many more years of it, at least, I think at least 8 to 10 more years of it before any real change even starts. And a lot of that is the darkening of the soul, the darkening of more spirits before, you know, that's why it's so important that people like us in this community get along with one another, respect one another, and help one another to understand what this is really all about. Spiritual warfare is a very real thing, whether you don't have to be religious to buy into that. What I talk about, I'm very religious, but I don't talk about my religion on stream. I talk about just the spiritual aspect and angle of what is going on. There is a war, and it is for souls. Not to go to heaven or hell, but to be dark or to be light.
Yeah. And I agree with you. And it seems like that they are really winning the hearts and minds of the children. And I'm wondering if that's through like technology. And then when you have the lack of socialization on top of a lot of broken families, right? You don't have anybody teaching the kids how to fight for what's right and protect themselves. And
well, we were talking about this earlier today with Hasbro. So as far as, tell Gemma what you had said to me.
So Hasbro has laid off this year a total, and just within the last week, they have laid off close to 1,100 people, bringing their total to about 1,900 people for this year, with more to come. And the reason is, and everybody gets everything, you know, they're all up in a hoot and a holler about capitalist system, this, that, and the other, and who's to blame. Here's the deal. Kids are not buying toys anymore. There are no good movies. I mean, I remember as a kid going to Star Wars and going, when's the next Star Wars toy coming out? Man, I got to get that. Kids are not buying toys anymore. It's all electronics. And it is.
I'm sorry. I'm guilty of it too. I know with my 5-year-old has literally 3.5 rooms in my home filled with toys. So he's kind of like, he has everything. But I did say, like, my mom was like, I'm not buying him toys this year, like, because he just plays with them for 5 minutes. And he wants, you know, the newest game, and he wants the newest electronic. And now I've kind of fallen into that trap as well. But he also sees his older siblings playing the games. I think, though, in that area, it's about, like, overseeing it. I think a lot of people, and no judgment, but a lot of people used technology as babysitters when it first became a thing, like chat rooms and stuff, not realizing the dangers of it. And then as they got older, it was like fine to, whereas it used to be you shouldn't sit your kid in front of the television all day. Now it's like you shouldn't let your kid, you know, screen time. I believe in screen time. I believe it's a thing. But you have to understand too that there are so many dark spirits who are using technology to infiltrate these children's minds. And I don't know if it'll be irreparable damage. I don't really believe that it will be, because I know, like with me, you know, I've come into this amazing ability and embraced it and help. I know I help people with it, and that's my goal. So I like to think that if you meet the right people like I did, you can be brought into the lightness, and you can be kind of a force for good. And I know it sounds so cliche, and it sounds, but we're dealing with a real crisis on our hands in more ways than what we just see on the news.
I'm just wondering, with these toy companies starting to go belly up and the increase in technology, where is going to be the cutoff with kids as far as like imagination play and creativity? What is the age cutoff going to be now? 7, 8 years old?
Yep.
Because by that age, they're getting phones and tablets in their hands. And I'm guilty of it too.
Everybody's guilty with my own child. Yeah.
So, but until just wondering.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, until you step back and you realize, or you meet somebody like Gemma who starts to explain it, this is actual spiritual warfare. This is the weapons of the dark energy that's out there. Because, you know, I know of a child that got very involved in Discord, right? Don't know who they're talking to. They say they're a kid. They don't know who that person is. And now that person has the child all confused about their gender identity and this and that and everything else. And of course the child is coming from a place of, you know, a home with a divorced family, because, you know, it's so easy to deal with that. Mm-hmm. Very vulnerable, open to suggestion. And then here, I mean, that could be a Chinese AI bot.
Yeah.
I mean, we just saw how AI can impersonate dead people so you can have conversations with them.
But that child thinks that those who are on Discord are their friend.
Exactly. Everyone's their friend. And that's the same thing with my little guy. The only person that is allowed to play games with him, I have him completely privatized, completely blocked. No one can friend request him. He cannot friend request anyone else. And he's not even allowed to like be in games where you can speak back and forth publicly, like to play online, I guess it's called, is Ghost Dragons. He's the only person that's allowed to play video games with my 5-year-old. And my son gets upset with me, but you know, I'm like, you're lucky that you're even allowed to play these games, because little kids come from a place of innocence. And there's one thing that darkness loves more than probably maybe even the light. And that's innocence, to mold a light being a child into darkness before it even notices that it has light. It really, really is spiritual. If I were to be able, you know, if I were talking about my religion, I would call it the devil or demon or whatever. It is just pure darkness. And the result of that is not going to hell. It's just not. I've been a medium my whole life. I know what is on the other side. Okay. There are exceptions. one exception. And the one exception is if you completely snuff out your own light by being a horrible person, doing horrible things, manipulating children, manipulating other people to follow your dark path, you will simply be reborn without that connection, that spark of the divine, that spark of the universe. Being, you're not tuned into the collective. So all you have is chaos and that type of energy. So you wreak havoc on the world. And I think what happened was around the year 2000, something happened. I don't know what it was. And it changed so many people. It took out so many of our light workers. And they then ended up influencing more and more. And we lost a lot for our team at around that time. So now all of those people are now coming into power. Or their children that they taught or groomed are now coming into power. And that's what we're dealing with now. But like I said, from what I understand, Generation Alpha is going to pull us out of it. But Generation Alpha, the youngest of them won't be 18 for, I think, at least another 10 years. Amazing. Another decade, where it's just going to get worse. I mean, it's not getting better. That's why we have to do what we can in this community and communities like this to really, really help one another. And whatever way you can, whatever your gifts are, you know, it doesn't matter. We can't all be doing the same thing, but just being willing sometimes to listen to someone, I've noticed, goes like, so it means so much to people now, just to have someone really listen to them. When, you know, when I was growing up, it was like, I feel so old saying it, but like, we didn't have cell phones until I think the first ever carry around model of cell phone came out when I was like 19, and it would cost so much money. So
yeah,
my husband is a boomer, and he said that he had one of the first ones in the 70s, and it came in like a suitcase, and he had to carry it. Like, I was like, I don't even know, like, how
cancer, you know, from the radiation of the battery.
That's why he doesn't look a day over 40, right? Because it was just simpler.
It preserved them.
It did. No, it had to live.
My first one was a little Nokia phone that I could play Snake on. Yes, that was the only thing.
Did you just say Snood?
No, Snake. It was that little Snake game.
And I love it. And nobody else knows. I'm like, no. But no, we've got to, the technology's got to, I think it's going to become a lot more, I don't know. I'm hoping it becomes a lot more restrictive. But then again, I don't think that's going to be where the change comes. I think it's just going to come from the goodness of the people in charge and the people using it. You know, I watched, and again, like, I won't mention the exact place, but most of you will know what I'm talking about. There was someone who escaped a place where there is a dictator and people are generationally incarcerated. And she said, this dictator came into power by telling us that, don't worry, I'll make everyone equal. They cared so much about equity that they forgot about everything else that makes people, the differences that make us who we are and what we are and how great it is. They were so laser focused on equity that they all blindly just ended up in this horrific dictatorship. And that's what scares me. And that's one of the things, like, I don't like watching the news or listening to it at all. And I try to get the news from my guides or like the spirit teams that I pull in when I'm reading. Sometimes I'll keep some of them around. Like, I'll do someone's reading, and if their team seems kind of cool or like they have more to teach me, I'll be like, hang around. And then afterwards I'll have a conversation there, because I'm like becoming terrified of people. I'm becoming an actual recluse.
Yeah, I mean, that I could see that happening with people. And if things don't start changing, you know, for the positive, if things don't start flipping, I could see more and more people starting to suffer from that, because you don't want to be out in there where you are constantly having to fight that negativity.
Yep.
And you know, you brought up the religious aspect of it, but all religions and philosophies throughout the ages have talked about this constant battle, yin and yang, you know.
Yep.
Everybody has talked about this in some form of another, because it's like the human psyche aspect of it on top of spiritual forces of things that we can't explain, which is really, you know, it's really interesting, but man, you know those people that walk in the room and they suck the energy right out of you. Like, immediately.
I was just going to say that whether you're aware, like I am, I'm walking through the grocery store and now I've noticed recently, I'm not only seeing all of the dead people there, all of spirit that's there. I'm also now seeing, whereas if I were in a grocery store and there were 100 people in there 10 years ago, maybe two or three would have really severe, dark, or dare I say, demonic attachments. Now, and Ghost Dragons, when he and I get together physically, you can even ask him, there's like 75 out of 100 have something disgusting and dark and demonic just following them around. Literally, like, that's why I say human straw, literally using them as a straw. And you can see the person, the more or the stronger this entity is that's attached to them, the more chaos they are now thrown into. It is almost a constant battle for me when I leave my house to protect myself from not only seeing that, but from taking any of it on. And that's why I really only go to the grocery store and to visit my mom every once in a while, because I don't want to see it anymore. It's terrifying. And once those attachments can see that I see them, I become a threat. Because God forbid I should warn somebody. And I've tried warning people. They don't usually believe you and they kind of just look at you like you're a kook, but that's the influence of the spirit. It's so complex, but at the end of the day, it's so simple. You just have to do what you know in your heart is the right thing to do. It really is that simple, guys. Like, love is literally the key. And I think we've lost sight of that a really long time ago as human beings. I mean, really long time ago.
Well, everybody, just so you are aware, if you're listening to this on the audio podcast, we are here with Gemma Jade, and we got about 30 minutes left with her. And make sure you guys go to Gemma's channel if you haven't already, and go and subscribe, become a member to her channel as well. Do that sharing out, comment on everything for both of us. We would really appreciate it, especially since we are rebranding our show. And we've got the lovely Gemma Jade here to help us with that. Now, Gemma, you talked about a new book.
Yes.
Yes. And we're talking about kind of these malevolent children running around right now. And there's been this folklore that's been around for ages called the Black Eyed Children. Do you want to jump into that a little bit? And
talk I would love to. So the Black Eyed Kids for me, about, I think it was maybe 2015 or 2016. I was kind of just lounging around and I happened to be flicking through the channels and I saw an episode of Monsters and Mysteries in America where they had the Brian Bethel story, which some people think is the original story ever of the Black Eyed Kids, which is how a lot of people ended up thinking it's an urban legend. I found cases that go back to like the 17th century. I found a case and it's in the book, but I can't remember it off the top of my head, where there were like tribes that would build statues of beings. Now, these beings don't look like any sort of extraterrestrial that we know of yet, or that I guess most of us don't know of, but they always had obsidian eyes and the eyes were made of pure like obsidian crystal, or they were drawn in as all black, which is kind of like extraterrestrials. But if you think of what they had to go through to go and like find those gems, depending on where they were, to make sure that these images of these very small statured kind of child looking or childlike entities that they were coming into contact with, that they were claiming were taking down whole villages. People were going into the woods. I believe one of the Native American tribes calls it Oktar or Oktarn. It's in my book. Where there would be a child that wandered too far off into the woods and the child would come back and the child's eyes would be completely black. The child would be completely pale. And then the next thing you know, that entire village or whatever it was had, were dropping like flies or disappearing. And I thought that maybe the people disappearing were actually just turning into other black eyed kids. And I explored so many different realms that I thought could be the cause of the Black Eyed Kids. I used to think that maybe they were people or children who went missing in the woods and weren't found for centuries, just coming back. I started to think that maybe they are the hybrid, like a hybrid gone wrong, visiting their earthly parent But then it's like, to what ends? I don't trust any of the stories at all. None of the stories of people who have claimed to have let them in. I just don't. I know there's one really popular one about an old couple in a snowstorm that was allegedly like documented that, and that people were interviewed. I intuitively, that didn't, it just didn't feel right to me. But this legend has been going, it goes back centuries, if not to the beginning of time. And I was scared to write too much of the book at one time until my deadline kind of caught up with me. And that's why I love Beyond the Fray Publishing, because they're amazing. They're like, oh, okay, it's not done. You're good. You know, but I'm like a perfectionist. I had to have it done at my deadline, and I didn't want to take any more time. But I was afraid, because I also discussed in the book, and I think I discussed it in the Shadow Entities book as well, where the more you research and look into these types of things, anything lower vibrational, occult, like you could be researching Satan for, you know, research purposes, you're going to bring some of that element of that energy in. And I was terrified that my non-believing husband was going to open the door and just be like, oh, it's kids, and let them in. And I was really, really scared. But I found cases of people who like had experiences with the BEK, but didn't even know it until like 2 weeks later, when they realized, you know, oh my God, like that missing hour I was with the black, like create. And these are, a lot of them came from personal, like people that I've built a rapport with throughout the years that were like, yeah, I have a story like that, or people I know personally here in Jersey. So I tried to only stick to the encounter stories that rang true to me, or that could be backed up. You know, it's really hard to fact check someone's Black Eyed Kid encounter. The best I could do was feel it out intuitively and see if it felt right to me. But I'm really proud of this book. I think it's probably my favorite one I've done so far, just because I was so excited about the research. Once I saw the Black Eyed Kids on Monsters and Mysteries in America, before I ever wrote a word as far as being an author, before I ever, I didn't even know what, I don't think YouTube was at that time of my life. I did as much research as I possibly could. I could not get enough of the subject. I also didn't know you could pull it in, you know, by researching. I was incessant. So to get to write a book about it, I put my heart and soul into it, and I'm just really excited about it.
Traveling near New Boston, Michigan? Hungry? Well then, you need to check out New Boston Coney and Grill, tucked away at 37005 Huron River Drive, with daily specials, homemade soups and desserts, and a staff that makes you feel like family. You will not be disappointed. Give them a try for dine-in or carry-out at 734-606-5313. You can find their page, including their menu, on Facebook. Bon appetit!
Yeah, that's awesome. I, you know, with our conversation that we were just having, now I'm wondering if these Black Eyed Kids are the embodiment of this darkness that has gotten through a child and is expressing through the child at this point. I mean, it's just, I've heard many stories about these Black Eyed Children, and I don't know. Has there ever been a fatality linked to them, or some kind of damage, like injuries or something linked to them?
Yeah. So fatalities, no, but I do believe that they cause some sort of either fatality or at the very least disappearances. So there have been crimes, and I didn't have enough information on it to talk about in my book, but I'm glad you kind of brought it up, because it's something I've been throwing around in my head a little bit. Where, you know, there are lots of cases of people that turn up deceased in the woods and outside of the woods every single year, where they're like, we just can't explain what happened here, you know, and there's carnage, and there's, and it's just like, these are unsolved murders, right? If you look throughout, you know, the world even, and I only looked throughout this country, of a lot of unsolved, really sadistic seeming, or even occult like murders that took place in homes, a lot of them have a ton of the same elements to them, where it's like there were no signs of an intruder, but they never found any evidence at all. There was no blood left behind. And you think in that much carnage. So there's a lot of a lot to it. But what I'm thinking is, did the Black Eyed Kids get in? did they get in and is this what they do? Now, there's a part of me that thinks probably not, maybe not, because they seem to be energetic feeders. They seem to be energetic feeders. There's a story that I covered in the book. A mother was driving with her 10 or 12 year old son, and she pulled over to run real quick into like a little bodega type convenience store and grab like milk and bread. And this case was actually documented. The witnesses were interviewed by, I believe, Nick Redfern or David Weatherly. They're two people that I trust. So I went with the story. And she came out and she, you know, just got in her car kind of on autopilot, you know, like we all do. You run in, you come out, you're in a rush trying to get home. And she just went to adjust her mirror and saw a black eyed, pale faced child with its arm around her son. The son was 8 or 10. 10 was the older that it would be. And she just got so scared. She jumped out, pulled her son out and dragged him back into the store. And she was so hysterical that she couldn't even tell the clerk like what was going on. So he was going to call the cops. She's like, no, let me just call my husband. So she calls her husband. She's like, listen, I'm not explaining right now. I'll explain when we get home. Come and just drive my car home. I don't want to be in my car. I will drive your car home. He's like, okay, that, you know, it's weird, but we are going to talk about this when we get home. She's like, whatever. She takes the son home in his car. He drives her car and doesn't make it home. He ends up in the hospital. He had a car wreck. And he said the reason he wrecked was because he smelled a foul odor, became extremely dizzy, and just lost consciousness. He survived. And then the son, and this is what happened to the son is something I see over and over again happening in cases of people who have had physical contact with the black-eyed kid. So they come in and grab a cup of hot cocoa from you, or they touch your doorknob and you touch your doorknob. Like there's some sort of energetic exchange there where the kid got really deathly sick and the doctors couldn't figure out what it was. But then they're like, this is weird. You know, he's got signs and symptoms of measles. So they start treating the measles, but it's not the measles anymore. Now it's something to do with the stomach. So then they start treating that, but then it's not that anymore. Then it's something different. This went on for about 18 months until finally they had their church do like an exorcism over the boy and like a prayer circle around this boy. And then he was healed. And he went on to live a normal life and they never saw the kids again. I've also noticed that the kids only usually make one visit. I've never seen anyone say I've repeatedly encountered black-eyed kids. So yeah, they make you very, very, very sick if there's any sort of energetic exchange. And I don't know if that's what they feed off of or if their end goal is to kill you. I think it's to corrupt you.
Is there any chance that these kids could be linked to the Fae?
I mean, yeah, there is. I didn't even cover that angle in my book because it didn't even occur to me, to be honest with you, because I had so many, like each chapter is just a different angle. That's how many different theories are out there. But yeah, I guess they could be. I mean, we have changelings, right? And I spoke about changelings in my first book, where basically the Fae will come in and give you a sickly Fae child and take your healthy human child and you'll never see it again. Or they'll make it super smart in literature and music and the arts and then give it back to you randomly one day. We don't know why they do that, but they do. I mean, it could be, but honestly, I go with my gut and I know a lot of people don't like that because it's just my feeling. But like as a medium, as someone who deals with spirit, the explanation that seems right to me is that there is something extraterrestrial going on. I don't know what it is. I also found an encounter with a white-eyed kids. I found several, but there was one where the guy finally got sick of the black-eyed kids pounding on his door. He went and grabbed his gun, whipped the door open with the gun aimed, and it was a white-eyed teenager. Said, "Where'd they go?" And he was like, I don't know. And they're like, you won't be hearing from them anymore. No more visits from them anymore. And the white-eyed person walked off and he was just like, okay. And he moved because he was so freaked out by not only the black-eyed kids, but now this white-eyed, the white-eyed kid thing is a whole different phenomenon that I've discussed on my channel, but that I wouldn't have nearly enough to write a book about. But I think it's something extraterrestrial. And I do think it's something to do with hybrid.
Okay. The reason I was thinking Fae is because when you were talking there and you exactly when you mentioned something about the black-eyed kids, Multifaceted Jules had put the faith theory is an exceptional read as well. Yeah, we have that book, but it jumped out at me like, you know, maybe this is related in some way, but there seems to be that extraterrestrial connection.
Taven said something. I'm so sorry, but I don't want to forget because that's really interesting what he said. He said, but why do they want ketchup for their apples? So that's a really well-known story where the BEK in some way, shape, or form asked for ketchup for the apple. They also asked to use a phonograph. If you look at situations with the Men in Black, who a lot of people think are extraterrestrials, they do the same thing. They are using a fork to do their hair, kind of like the Little Mermaid bit, or they're trying to drink Jell-O, or they're doing strange things with food when offered a glass of water. One guy just went like this and threw it in his face. And they're very robotic. Same thing. And some people even think that there's a connection there where like they're the children of the Men and Women in Black. But I'm just like, we're assuming now that outside supernatural or extraterrestrial forces procreate like we do. And we really, that's a hell of a jump to make. So sorry to interrupt you, but that was, that caught me.
Well, Andrew and Gnomes Trucking Express also mentioned this, and I wanted to bring this up where he mentions that, and with black-eyed kids, the clothing is outdated, seems like, or not well known. Yeah.
I've seen a lot of cases where the clothing was described as outdated, either that or really raggedy. And during the research for my book, I actually came across several moms, and I say moms because moms know, we know what our kids are wearing, especially our younger kids. Like I could tell you if something belongs to my 5-year-old or not, and he has 3 dressers and an entire closet full of clothes. I know every piece because I bought most of it. That the kids are holding either an identical doll to the person's child or has the same exact outfit that their child wore to school that day on, trying to be like, look at me, I'm just like your child. Don't you want to help me? How could you leave me stranded out here? But I just don't get it. Like, I know that other creatures, like just by some universal law, or again, if you believe in God, it's God's law where anything evil or of that nature has to have something about it that is different to tip a human off. But normally, like, the devil will have something underneath clothing or something that we can't see. Do you know what I'm saying? These kids just haven't seemed to get it yet that, you know, their eyes are a dead giveaway. And it never fails that the one that's the younger of the two or the younger of the three looks extremely nervous. There was a case that I covered where it started like obviously faking crying, going like looking to see if like the human was, you know, it was moving them, and then not, then like and just kept doing that like they were not. And I've jokingly said one time, I wonder if that's what the white-eyed kids are, where the black-eyed kids are like, oh, okay, we need to get this eye thing together now. But instead, they went the total opposite direction. You know, the demons, there's a demonic hierarchy that I know very well from my life of seeing them. And that's another thing to consider. The white-eyed demons are the highest of the high, and the black-eyed demons are the lowest of the low. And there's 7 or 8 different spectrum of colors that run through those two. But I just don't get a demonic feel. I mean, I do, but I get like an extraterrestrial demonic feel.
All right. So Gemma, we've got you for about 13 more minutes. And I know Michelle, I told Michelle to come up with some stuff to ask you. And she really just had like a main concept she wanted to talk to you about. And that was what, Michelle?
You're going to have to refresh my memory because I forgot. I ran out shopping before the show. So
about,
and I don't have till exactly 9. I mean, I have a few extra minutes with you guys. So, whatever, you know, y'all want to do.
I think it was more about, I wanted to know what Jenna felt about the vibe of 2024.
Are any of your spirit contacts, anything from the other side also, like, have they pointed to anything coming up, hopefully, that's a little bit more positive in the future and for 2024? I've noticed personally, like I said, there seems to be a lot more darkness and dark things happening. the sun seems to be getting really active with a lot of stuff. And there's all of this new UAP, you know, we're just being inundated with people interested in aliens. And this stuff is in the news now constantly, the NDAA with the UAP disclosure thing, the meetings, all of this stuff. And it seems like we're on the precipice of something huge, but I've got a feeling like it's dark. It's something dark that's happening. So that's kind of my take. And I'll turn that over to you for this last little bit.
Okay. So the one thing I was hearing when you were talking is just over and over again of like, be careful where you get your information. Be very careful where you get your information. So what I'm kind of seeing is like, yes, there are species of extraterrestrials that are good and of light and that want to help us. But there's the Galactic Federation and there's that whole thing where they can't violate the laws. Now, the darker, more sinister species of extraterrestrials, and I'll just use reptilians for an example, they're not really allowed to violate it, but they will trick humans into the violations. So they will present themselves as, you know, a celebrity and be like, yeah, you know, I can make you rich and famous. Just sign on this dotted line. And then when the Galactic Federation says you're taking this person's light, said, look, signed, you know, they signed it away. It's like making a deal with the devil in today's modern society. But for 2024, unfortunately, there's going to be tiny shifts in the individual lives of us light workers, people searching for the truth, people responding and reacting in love and with light and through peace. But until we get enough people where those little things are happening in our everyday lives, there's really not going to be any major change. As far as something really big coming, I see governments, a government in particular that is really wanting to use the whole extraterrestrial angle and how interested people are to do another kind of sleight of hand where it's like, they're coming and y'all better stay inside, or let's go to digital money just in case, you know, the ETs come tomorrow. I see a lot of that in the future. I don't know if that's going to be 2024, but I definitely see governments and people of authority jumping on the bandwagon of, okay, well, you know, we don't need to actually tell them the truth. We can use this to our advantage. Let's make them scared. And I do see that, which is why I think my guides were like, tell them to watch where they get their information from. Always go by your gut, by your own instinct and what you feel. And that's just not with the extraterrestrials, guys. I can't stress enough. I always use Bob as an example. If 15 of your friends and your closest family members tell you, this is my friend Bob, he's amazing, he's done so much for me, such a great guy. And as soon as you meet this person, you're like, got to get away from this. I don't like this person. Trust your own self. Don't worry about making others uncomfortable if you're not doing it out of some misguided need to hurt that person. Enforce your boundaries. Narcissism is that hook. Narcissism itself, let alone narcissistic tendencies, is running rampant. We have this, and I'm kind of just channeling this. So we have this main character syndrome going on in our society today, where everyone is the main character of their own story and you kind of have to dance around them. You're just there to be a part of their show. We really have to try very hard not to get sucked into this. We have to stay open and not become more cynical and more closed off to the light, because that is what's happening. Good people, light workers, people that are trying to help and do good, teachers, people in that type of profession specifically, who, you know, the molding, I just heard the molding of young minds is a sacred charge, to not become jaded or so down that you allow that darkness that's taking everything over, that's causing it in the first place, to affect you so much that you're not doing your job, which is not only teaching, but spreading light, guiding light workers, bringing people together. That is like the universe test of faith for people like you guys, people like us, people like me. How much are we going to give into the darkness? Or are we going to wake up every day and just say, I will do my best not to let it affect me. I'm still going to go about doing what I'm doing. And you know what? I always tell people, if you don't like what I cover, if you don't like what I have to say, if you don't agree with me, you guys are, you know, feel free. Don't watch. But if you need me for anything, I will be here for you. If you sincerely want to help and change your life and know what I know and learn from me, I will guide you to the best of my ability. And I don't let the trolls get me down. And I think we just need to take that idea and put it more into life. I know January is probably not going to get much better, but February, March, and April, I do really see an upswing in people getting fed up, where like silent majorities are going to start speaking out and speaking up. And I do see December, for as little as I do see December, January, February of next year, there's going to be something that happens, possibly in November of this year, especially in the United States. I don't know though, but something that happens towards the end of the year this year or next year, 2024, that is going to be a complete and total overhaul of the system. And everything that's been undone in the past however many years is going to slowly start being rebuilt until eventually, and that's going to continue until eventually Gen Alpha starts taking more control, becomes adults, moves into their own. We have a decade of hell and a lot to rebuild. And do I see it happening this year? Not really so much, but next year, definitely.
Okay, Gemma.
We just can't give up. We just can't.
Well, and we've got an election year. So you said government. Man.
That's why I said maybe in November, that's what's going to be the switch. I mean, I didn't see that. That's not what Spirit said, but that's my human interpretation of maybe that'll be it.
All right, Gemma, before you take off, because I trust you of all people to have your connection to that other side and being able to tap in, whether it's your intuition or whatever. You've been spot on with me and Michelle many times. So I got to ask you this, and I just want you to jump in with the first thing that comes to mind. Was COVID training for this thing you were talking about?
Which thing? I'm sorry.
The alien invasion stuff.
Yes. I think that they wanted to see, yes, how they could divide and conquer, how easy it was going to be. And you know what? Everything that's going on right now, and again, this is just what's coming through, is this division, this is so that they can get us even more under control. Now, I lean a certain way. I don't deal with conspiracies. Do you know what I'm saying? This is just what I'm saying. If anyone that knows me knows this is not something I would normally say, I would just say, I don't know. But interesting that, yes, it was. It was something much, much smaller than what it was made out to be. They wanted to test control. And next going to be the digital money. And what I saw about that, I'll tell you guys real quick. It shocked me where they're going to be like, oh, yeah, but, you know, from now on, you know, just to keep things, you know, so that, you know, A, B, and C doesn't happen, you can only withdraw $100 from your account on week 2 and 4 of every month. You don't like it, sorry, but it's digital money now. So we cannot let that happen. That's going to take a lot more undoing. Regardless, it's going to be undone. It's just a matter of, is it going to be one decade or like between 10 and 15 years, or is it going to be 40 to 50 years that we have to undo all of this? But by the end of the year, we should see major changes starting where like there's the whole entity, a whole government behind undoing everything that's being done now and that has been for so long. And yes, that absolutely was training, and they have more to come. They're going to use disclosure as scare tactics and scare mechanisms. So guys, watch where you get your information, because there's going to be a lot more misleading when it comes to the UFO alien phenomenon going forward, especially this year.
And that's the problem that I have with this whole disclosure thing, especially coming from the government, is because we have all these people who are telling about stories that were told to them and this, that, and I was told this by that person, this, that, and the other. Okay, where is it? Where somebody come forward? I mean, like literally you're talking a government full of hundreds of thousands of people. Somebody had to take something and give something, pictures, video, something. There's no way that all of this can be compartmentalized and stuff if this was really going on.
Right. And how many witnesses do you have? Like, I know people that I trust that said that their stuff got stolen from them while they were out one day or after getting a visit from the Men in Black. I believe the Men in Black are like sleeper cell type people. I don't even believe they're extraterrestrials. I believe they're real people who are just in some sort of sleeper state and being, you know, doing someone else's bidding. But you're absolutely right. I mean, we just have to not be as gullible as we've been, we being the collective. So many people are so gullible and so susceptible and vulnerable. And that's why we have to be the honest voices, even if we end up with sometimes egg on our face. I've had to come back and be like, I don't know why I said that, but that was what I thought at the time. But that was not, and not, I do not hesitate to say when I'm wrong or when I misunderstood, because when I'm wrong, it's because I misunderstood something I heard. It's not spirit telling me the wrong thing. It's I misinterpreted it. We have to be able to do that too in this community. And we have to be able to respect the other people that we work with and not have all this division just in the community on such a small scale. You know, I don't like that person because I don't like the, you know, the way she looks, and I don't like that guy because I don't like the sound of his voice, or that person has more subscribers. It's just, we can't do that. We're just helping them along.
Ladies and gentlemen, it has been an awesome night tonight, and having Gemma Jade come on with us for our rebranding first show, last minute, texting her last night, can you come on? She's like, yes, I will come on. So we had her for an hour. So Gemma, before you take off, the name of the new book and possibly when it's coming out?
So tentatively, most likely the name is going to be Danger at Your Doorstep, Terrifying Encounters with the Black Eyed Children, but that may be too long, so it may end up being something else. And I'm hoping
that
it will
be too long of names.
Yeah. Yeah. So you guys get it. But I'm hoping that it'll be out the second or third week of January, but I will definitely be keeping you guys updated and posted, and guys check out Audible for the first three books and also Kindle and paperback on Amazon. Yeah.
Awesome. All
thanks,
right,
guys.
Gemma.
Thank you so much.
Yep. Thank you very much. And it's an hour and 1 minute, and we promise to get you out of here in an hour. So thank you for joining us.
You're well. I'm sorry. I got to say happy birthday to Deirdre. That's all. Yes. Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys. All right. Good
all
night.
Right. Have a great night.
Bye-bye.
All right. Hey, everybody. I know this is kind of on the shorter end of the show, but man, we absolutely love having Gemma Jade on. We want to thank all of you for joining us tonight. We had a lot of people watching. Make sure you go over to her channel and support her channel and ours as well. You know, hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, leave a comment below, become a member. I mean, help us out. And we were going to be getting a lot more people on the show. And this is something Michelle and I had thought about for a long time about rebranding and stuff.
We wanted to be able to have a show title that would travel with us just in case we did not stay in Michigan.
Yeah. And we wanted something shorter. But we're going to record a video and release it in a few days. That kind of explains everything that's going on. And yeah. So once again, everybody, thank you very much for joining us tonight. It's been an awesome time. And keep an eye out. Make sure you hit that notification bell, by the way. So when we get ready to go live and I set up a live show, you guys will all get notifications. But 2024 is going to shape up to be one of those wild years again. I'm just glad 2023 is about ready to get out of here.
Yes, so, please.
Yes, please. All right, everybody. Thank you once again. Much love. We love you all. Ghost Dragon, we see you out there. Diane Boss, all of you. Make sure you guys stay for the credits at the end, because this is where we put all of our supporters. So once again, thank you, everybody. And Ghost Dragon, by the way, man, look, we don't need you to get a part-time job for these super chats that you are sending us, but we appreciate it, and thank you very much for those. So with that, everybody, I think it's time for us to go. Michelle?
Have a great night, everyone.
Have a great night. And remember, you guys know what to do. We're still doing it. Keep your eyes to that sky.